morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, April 6, 2020, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 101, the third paragraph down. Today's readers are Santa H., reading the 12 Steps, Pam Q., reading the 12 Traditions. Reading the text are Devorah S., Leah S., and Leslie M. Our newcomer greeter later on will be Mary B., and giving us announcements will be Dawn B. Our share IDs for the previous meetings, yesterday, Sunday's special edition on April 5th, the share ID is 14,377. That's 14377. And for Monday morning, today's April 6th, 7 a.m. meeting, the reference number is 14,381 or 14381. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Santa H. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Santa.
Good morning, my fellows. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater calling in from Montclair, New Jersey. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to others, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. As you understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Santa H., for your service. Pam Q., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning. My name is Pam Q. I am a compulsive overeater from New York. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much, Pam Q, for your service. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And I also want to mention that there are many people on these lines during the pandemic, so although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Okay, today we are resuming our study of the Big Book on page 101, the third paragraph down, and I will ask Devorah S. to get us started. Good morning, Devorah.
Good morning, Kathy, and good morning, everyone on this line and everyone who makes this meeting possible. Thank you so much. We are so grateful. So our rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking if we have a legitimate reason for being there. That includes bars, nightclubs, dances, receptions, weddings, even plain old ordinary whoopee parties. To a person who has had experience with an alcoholic, this may seem like tempting providence, but it isn't. Okay, I don't know what a whoopee party is, but it sounds like a lot of fun. Anyway, so here we are in the chapter, working with others. So the person that you're working with, you've done a lot of work. You've been doing a lot of work together. This person has already, you know, identified their foods, their abstinence. You went through the steps, all the steps, you know, and we're at you know, we're a part of the program with 10, 11, and 12, maintaining our spiritual connection. So, you know, if we are at this point already, we are developing a relationship, and we have a relationship with God that we develop each and every day, and we're seeking God's will in all our affairs. So when we get to this point already, there should be no fear about going to any of these places if there's a good reason to go, right? So any occasions, you have personal reasons, weddings, whatever it is going on in your life, celebrations, graduations, you know what they are. You know, at this point, go. God is with you. You know, you ask God for help, and he's there for you. You're not tempted to see what's doing by the food. You're going with a single purpose in mind, to be there, to get out of yourself, and to be of service for others. And that is the point of all the work that we're doing in this program, all the step work that we do, is to get out of ourselves, to lose our ego, and to see what can I bring to the occasion? What is it that I'm going to bring so I could be helpful to another person? You know, in the past, when I've gone to these affairs, you know, all these social things, it was all about me. What can I, you know, it was all about, I sat in a corner, I looked at everyone, I judged, I criticized, I looked at the food. I didn't eat in public. But when I get home, watch out. When I got home, watch out, or on the way home or whatever. It was like, you know, I just wanted to eat. It was a pile up of human emotions. But now today when I go, you know, I go to the sole purpose to see what I can bring to an occasion. I go, I'm there for the celebration. It's not about the food. I'm not sitting in a corner judging people, criticizing people. I'm there because God put me in this situation, and I'm to bring something, whether it's helping another person, being with my family member who needs help. Whatever it is, there's always something that I could do to help another person to get out of myself. And I've traveled very far distances for a friend, for a neighbor, for a person in my community to be at a celebration, just to show my love and my happiness for them on this occasion. It wasn't about the food, but it was just to show up. And I stayed a short amount of time just to be there for their special occasion. And I'm really grateful because this program has taught me how to live life. Life used to be just about the food, right? And what I can get and you know, what's going to be there and how I can. But now it's not. It's about other people and being other-centered and bringing God into everything and to seek what is it that God wants from me in any given situation. So I'm not looking to avoid people, places, or things today. I'm looking to see what I can bring and to celebrate with other people. And that, I believe, is that what God wants from us, not to be in isolation and to see, to be self-seeking, but to get out of ourselves and to live life and to be there for others. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Devorah S., for getting us started. So if you haven't, in the last 2 or 3 days, we'd love to hear from you. Who would
Julie
like
R.
to?
Julie R.
Okay, Julie
R. Barbara W.
Amanda B.
I heard Monica Barbara. M. I'm sorry.
Donna
Barbara
B.
Barbara B. W. I think I heard think Lisa that. B. Is that correct?
Donna
Amanda B.
Oh, Amanda B. Okay.
And Donna B.
And Donna B. Okay.
And Melanie C.
Melanie C. Okay.
Leah S.
And Leah S. I think we'll stop there. So I have Julie R., Barbara W., Amanda B., Donna B., Melanie C., and Leah S. Wonderful. Please go ahead, Julie.
Hi, thank you. This is Julie R., recovered compulsive overeater. Oh, this paragraph has so much meaning because this is what we get to experience once we become recovered, once we do the work and consistently live a spiritual life. So if I have a legitimate reason for being there, so I obviously have a legitimate reason to being in my home because we've been in shelter in place for almost a month in California. And I have tons of binge foods here because I live with non-compulsive overeaters. And it's like, thank you, God, that I don't have that battle within, that battle without, you know, opening and shutting the refrigerator 10 times. And because that's the battle I'm going to lose, it promises me, you know, that I am going to be okay. I don't have to white knuckle this stuff anymore. But I did before I did the steps, and really did the steps and really worked the program and really lived my life as I do today. A lot of you haven't heard me for a while because I had a hell of a time for 14 months off and on. 6 months on, I'd eat a day. A month, a week, whatever. And it's like, thank you, God, I don't have to do this right now. And we could be anywhere, any place. I was in New Jersey for 9 days when they had zero cases. And then when I left, they had almost 300. I was in a suite. What a great reason for me to eat. But it's like, no, it never crossed my mind. I was able to do step work. There's a couple of people from New Jersey. We got together and did OA work. So anyway, for newcomers out there, you know what? There is freedom. This is freedom. I go to weddings. I go to receptions. I even go to bars with people. But I don't drink and I don't eat. So anyway, with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Julie R. Barbara W., please share with us. Press star 1, Barbara, to unmute.
Is that better?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Sorry, this is Barbara W. from Washington State. The one thing that jumped out at me when I heard the word whoopee parties is that I've been exactly the opposite. My difficulty or my challenge has been I can create my own whoopee parties. I don't need to go anywhere. And this time of quarantine has really been an eye-opener for me. It's, I don't have to. I can call up a store and I can order all I want. The problem is I'm on a fixed income, but my disease doesn't know that. So I want to create my own drama, my own easy access, so to speak, easy access to food. And I can't go there. I'm 74. And it's amazing what my disease can get into, what my disease can make inroads into me without my thinking, oh, you poor thing, you're in self-quarantine. Oh, you need to have something. Can't you order something? Oh, don't you have a vending machine somewhere? Oh, I'm sure you can find some food. Well, I'll help you. My disease wants to do that. But, you know, I can't go there because it would be so easy for me to just pick up the phone and order something. I don't care if it's coming in a week. I can order it. The problem is I can't. The problem is my disease has a victory if I do that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Barbara W. Amanda D., please share with us.
Hi, this is Amanda B. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you, Amanda.
Awesome. Thanks. It's Amanda B. from Toronto, Canada. For this pandemic not happening in the winter here, it's just so wonderful to be out walking. I really liked the passage. This is one of my favorite passages because it says that we shouldn't avoid. We don't have to avoid things. And that's also in the promises. We are neither avoiding it. But I related it to a few things. The first thing is when I go to meetings, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm not getting anything out of this. But it's like, what can I bring to it? You know, I hear people in my town talking about sick meetings or, you know, meetings where people are not recovered. It's like, that's the meeting I need to go to. What do I need to bring to that meeting? This is the whole program is like sharing that message. And and giving people hope, and sharing that, like, you know, I don't need to struggle through that. The other piece is, like, I really want to go to grocery stores. That's like, you know, as a food addict, it's one of my pastimes to walk around and go to grocery stores. My parents used to own a grocery store. I love buying my own vegetable, blah, blah, blah. And it says, like, if it's appropriate, the whole program for me is around the word appropriate. It's not appropriate to run up and down the stairs all night and drink coffee and try to starve myself. It's not appropriate to eat, like, copious amounts of food. And so this program is, like, about God reparenting me and what's appropriate. And so oftentimes it's appropriate for me to be somewhere, and it's not appropriate for me to be somewhere else. So right now it's not appropriate to go to grocery stores. It's appropriate to go to meetings online and see where I could be of service, even if I hate them. I hate Zoom meetings because I have to write about that. But, you know, just, wow, thank you, God. And just underlying the totality of all this and the neutrality that I get is this thing where, like, if I'm, you know, happy, not happy, appropriate, inappropriate, stinky or clean. And I just love this passage because it's just talking about neutrality, and it reminds me about what can I bring and do I have a good reason for being there? And if I do have a good reason for being there, then okay, be there and see what I can contribute. Thanks so much. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Amanda B., for your service. Donna B., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver. And I'm in awe of the miraculous timing of my higher power. I have been assisting my children in distance learning and have been unable to call in live and have been listening to the recordings. And over the past couple of weeks, I've experienced a great deal of sadness when I listen to the recordings and hear voices jockeying on top of each other to be heard. It feels aggressive, and it literally makes my body cringe in pain. And I had the opportunity to call in live this morning, and I literally dialed in when the moderator said, you know, due to the pandemic, we're really encouraging people to share no more than once every 3 days. And my heart bloomed with a sense of peace and hope. I spent a lot of time this weekend grieving, that listening to the Vision for You podcast throughout my day wouldn't really be an opportunity for me anymore, that I would need to look for new resources, of which I did and found some beautiful things. And I do think that this relates to the paragraph, a legitimate reason for being there. And I think part of my legitimate reason for being at the Vision for You meetings, whether it's live or listening by recording, is to listen and to learn and to grow and to connect from the experience of others. And I'm so hopeful that even despite the pandemic, that with this new directive in the format, this meeting may be restored to the peace and the patience and tolerance that I once associated with this meeting. So thank you for letting me share that. I'm so grateful to be on the call this morning. And I love you all, and I love to hear you all. And I really hope that we can all adhere to the new directive of the format. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Donna B., for your share. Melanie C., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. Good morning, Kathy K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon, and I am grateful to be able to have an opportunity to share on the line today, that there's space for more of us to come on.
So our rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking.
And that talks to me about a rule. And there's some beautiful italicized words that say legitimate reason for being there, and that always tells me to pay close attention to that, that there's some caution and some prayer and some teaching in this particular paragraph that I want to take to my heart to see where it is I can figure these things out for me. And then it kind of ends with a higher power, that this is a perhaps for me an intuitive experience as well. And I kind of have what I call my trilogy triage, admitted to God, to myself, and another human being, so that I can grow an understanding, i.e. my intuition. And what I like about this is that I really want to get to the idea of freedom from bondage of self. I want to get to the place of trusting providence, and I want to be, and I am neutral around food, and that is all apparent in here, so that I can go and be and do whatever I need to do in this world as a free woman. And when I take a piece of this and pull it apart and bring it back to my life in prayerful meditation, I can see where there is areas that I still have opportunity to grow and stretch in that area, moving towards freedom and intuition. So working with my sponsor is a great way to be able to have that happen as well. It's kind of my first stage and step, because I'm not real familiar with hearing the sound of God's voice, and I'm certainly not very skilled in staying calm and quiet, because I had kind of the attention span of an agitated gnat when I came in these rooms, for sure. So I'll give you an example, telling myself if time allows, is that years and years ago, there was an opportunity for my husband and I to go to this fundraising gala. And my reason for going there, my husband didn't know about it, I informed him, was because there was an ex-boyfriend going to be there, and I'd lost this weight, and I wanted him to see how wonderful and what he was missing, you know, as a result of not being in my life. I'm married, mind you, at this particular point. And I got this beautiful dress, and I got all these wonderful things going on. We had to fly in from another state to be here because it was a big deal, this big gala, you know, and I was going to go and show all of this wealth that I had, just this really, really bad stuff. And I thought that it was good reason to be there. Good reason to be there. And I had the good fortune to share it with my sponsor, and she said, you're not going. You are not going. You are not in fit spiritual condition. This is not the attitude by which you would be going there. We talked it through. We found a way. My husband actually ended up needing to be there. And what my purpose for being there would be, she lined it all out for me, helped me to see it more clearly. I got to pray about it with God, got it all straight, went through it. By the way, the boyfriend never showed. God's just like that. And it taught me more about how to be more aware of God and intuition. And that was a great, great lesson. Opportunities like that come up every single day for me as we grow along this path. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Melanie C. Leah S., please share with us.
Thank you very much, Kathy K. Leah S., recovered in Brooklyn. I'm very grateful. So our rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking, if we have a legitimate reason. Actually, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the promises that I'm going to go to a place where I'm going to be neutral about the food. It's not going to have a calling to me the way you used to. Why? Because I have worked through the steps, and I have come to a spiritual experience through the working of these steps and the Big Book. Through my working with others, I have come to spiritual experience. And these are experiences that I seriously encountered myself. And you know, being the non-believer that I came in with, all of a sudden made me a believer. It turned me around, and every time it hits me, it really gets to me. Hey, wow. It doesn't fail because I just go about my stuff. And anyway, I'm going to go off the subject that I really wanted to share about. And now that we're not going out, I'm not going out, and I have to, and I'm in a place where I don't know if I want to be with those people who I live with 24/7, and I am in this place. And this is where, if I have a legitimate reason, I need to be here. I need to be able to get along with the people that I live with. I need to be able to like the people that I have chosen in my life. And it is so remarkable because my spirituality has to grow much deeper, and I have to work at it much more now than before, because now I am put to the test, so to speak. Nothing at all about the food, but these things used to lead me to the food. And what a wonderful way to remedy situations and relationships. Wow, God couldn't have really chosen anything else. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Leah S. Okay, I am now open to take some more names. Remember, if you have shared in the last 2 days, we would appreciate your holding back to give others an opportunity to share.
This is Nettie. I'd like to share.
Okay, Nettie.
Liz?
Liz, and your last initial?
Oh, it's S and Sam.
Okay, Liz, thank you.
Janice PM?
Janice PM? And who came in after Janice?
Fran F.
Was that Fran F?
Fran M.
Jill F.
Okay, Fran M and Jill F.
Yes.
F?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, thank you. And I'll take one more just in case. Anybody else? Okay. Nettie, would you give us the first initial of your last name?
Gloria from California.
Okay, Maria. And now
Gloria.
Gloria. Okay. Nettie, would you give us your first initial of your last name and please share with us?
Yes, first initial is S like in Sam.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. My name is Nettie. I'm a food addict, compulsive eater, and restrictor. And I'm in Florida on vacation, and I'm from Pennsylvania. And I haven't been on these meetings for a long time, and I've gotten away from working the steps in the in this program. I'm also in another program, and I've been concentrating on that one more so than this. And I've been really struggling with my food, which is my core addiction. And this is what got me into the OA rooms in the beginning. And I've been in the rooms since the 90s. And I have a lot of gratitude today that I'm in Florida and not in Pennsylvania, and that I'm in a home that has a pool, that I'm not as isolated as other people, especially people in my family. And I also feel a lot of guilt and shame because I'm here, and I feel like people are jealous of my situation, and it bothers me. Anyway, being isolated and having food around me, because my boyfriend is not a food addict, so there is food, I find myself living in the food vicariously by making stuff for him that I can't have, that, you know, it's not calling to me, but it's there. But I also have been having food choices that is not on my food plan. I'm trying not to make this about a diet mentality, but I find myself falling into that right now. I have no way of weighing myself, and that was something that I was getting into a daily practice of doing, and to gauge where I was at and how I felt. So this is a confession for me. And I have to realize today that I am powerless over food, people, places, situations, and what's going on in my life. I have a lot to be grateful for, and especially I have a lot to be grateful for because I have a lot of people that share my addiction. My core addiction is food and what I do with it to cope with life. So I thank you all for being here. I'm glad to be here, and I pray to keep coming back. So thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you, Nettie S., and please keep coming back. Liz S., please share with us.
Hi, it's Liz S. From New Hampshire, and I'm so grateful to be a part of this group and just to hear other shares. And I'm sort of looking at both paragraphs, the one that precedes this one, and I'm just thinking I have to just stop and say how absolutely remarkable it is that I'm not mentioning right now. I almost can't believe it myself because I think of my history. And I've got one huge reason, and I've got a lot of little reasons, and I can't go near the food. I simply can't. And, you know, I can't be shielded from it. No one's going to shield me. But I can't because I have to stay awake and alive and alert. But what I really love is that I can go into a grocery store and I can walk down any aisle, all the aisles that I used to walk down that were the most dangerous, and I don't want that food anymore. And that has nothing to do with me at all. And if I do feel, and there have been a couple of occasions because I work with a youth group, that it's uncomfortable because they've got a lot of stuff around and they're all eating it. And I go with my dog. He does, she does service. We leave. We just leave. And it's not even a question of my wanting to eat, but if it gets even slightly uncomfortable, I don't belong there on that day. And I have to be very alert to that, very, very aware. But the freedom of being able to grocery shop, to be in other people's homes, to be able to go out and have that dreadful obsession lifted. But of course, that's all contingent on my fit spiritual condition. And again, I just want to say how blessed I am that I'm sitting here and I don't want to run to the supermarket and buy masses of junk. And thank you all for being on the phone with me. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Liz F. Janice PM, please share with us.
Well, thanks again, Kathy K, for your service and everything.
Janice, I can't hear you.
Yes, okay. Thank you so much, Kathy. I pressed another button. Yes, I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater today. No, I'm not cured, but let me tell you, the promises have promised me. Now, of course, we're in working with others. So we're not, you know, we're always in step one. I'm always in step one. I'm always powerless, no matter what. However, I'm not struggling. I'm not finding dishonest motives like I did when I was only abstinent. Believe you me, I felt, oh, I'm abstinent. You know, I can go on a cruise. Yeah. And I would go on a cruise, and I would be about 4 days, 5 days, not eating certain things. And then I just couldn't do it anymore because, after all, I didn't do it for 4 or 5 days. You see, so there's a difference here that they're saying you can go when we are recovered. Remember, we cannot, yeah, I have a physical and a mind problem. So I have to remember, I cannot defeat my obsession on my own. Believe you me, I tried and asking God, I've had sponsees say, well, Janice, you told me to ask God, and I do. But I said, you're not in fit spiritual condition yet. They said, what do you mean I'm not in fit spiritual condition? They don't realize that that means I am recovered in a higher power, has removed this obsession. So I really don't even want it, you know. And that's because I've had a spiritual awakening, and that is the result of the 12 steps. You know, it's just a daily thing that if I'm in fit spiritual condition, we're able to go anywhere if our motives are thoroughly good. I mean, I have other addictions, and one is gambling, and I can say, well, you know, I'll go to the casino and I'll have a nice abstinent dinner, but there it is, it's that little untrue motive when I wasn't recovered in gambling. And it would be like, maybe, you know, well, if I'm not recovered, that obsession is still with me. And even today, even recovered, I don't go. You know, I just don't want to test myself because, you know, I don't wear a bulletproof vest, which means, okay, you know, even though I'm recovered and this and that, but we can go if we are honest with ourselves. Nobody can tell us if we're honest with ourselves, accept ourselves. So therefore, you know, you know when you can go. If you're just trying to, you know, think, well, oh, I'm just going to feel good, or I won't do this, or I won't do that, I'm not that powerful. So it's God, my higher power, whom I call God, has either removed the obsession to eat certain foods and be where I'm not supposed to be or where I'm supposed to be, or not. It's as simple as that. Because when I'm trying to avoid, then I'm struggling. And yes, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice PM. Fran M., please share with us.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me? I guess so.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, well, I just got on this meeting because I had some free time, even though I've been busy working. But, it was so wonderful. I'm so glad I got to share. I love the rule about not sharing if you've shared in the last 3 days. I think that'll benefit all of us, really. And maybe I'm one of the guilty ones. Sometimes I share a lot, sometimes not. But I'm so glad that we have that. And also, I really appreciate the plea to, you know, for all of us to be a little less aggressive about not only trying to get to share, but what we share. I mean, it's just, I don't know, none of us is the higher power. None of us is the authority. We all just try to tell our story about what works for us. And relevant to the chapter about appropriate to be there and whether we'll be protected, I don't know, for me it's varied over the years. I would say that I'm not recovered in that I still, particularly during this tense time or when things are going badly or very well, my tendency is to shave my food and undereat. It makes me feel safe to know that I've eaten too little. And that's my disease, and I'm not fully recovered, and I'm only now just approaching step 8. And I hope that one day that desire is lifted and I just want to be healthy and not, you know, fool around in this sick way, especially at a time when we have to guard our health so much. And but I do agree, I think when we feel connected and spiritual, we don't want to practice our disease, but I don't know. Sometimes I think it's just a habit. I just don't know. But anyway, I'm grateful to be here. I also wanted to just laugh with the person who wanted to be at the supermarket. My addiction is going to the supermarket. It's like some people go to the museum. I go to the supermarket. I love to look at everything. I love to figure out what to buy. And even if it's all abstinent food, which it almost always is, I still love to look at it and get a thrill. And I'm 66 years old and my family is not letting me go out to the supermarket. And so groceries are precarious and I'm also finding it difficult. And I like that word appropriate that the chapter uses, and to remember to be in fit spiritual condition, because it's a little bit hard in my house. There are 3 of us and sometimes I get scared someone's going to eat too much of food X or food Y and there won't be enough for me. And I'm talking about vegetables or produce or things that we rely on. And I just have to know that my higher power will take care of me. And maybe this is a good lesson. It really doesn't matter so much what I eat. It really doesn't, as long as I try to do the best I can and share with the people I'm with and not be selfish and greedy and want to covet food or save food for myself. People are dying. And if I have to eat something that I don't really love, I pray to have the willingness to do it for the sake of being a better person. Anyway, thanks for letting me share, and it's great to be on this meeting, and I hope everybody stays well.
Thank you, Fran M. Jill F., please share with us. Press star 1, Jill, to unmute.
Sorry about that. Hi, this is Jill S. in San Diego, and I too want to thank everyone for the new order of the meeting. It's wonderful to feel such openness. This passage spoke to me one way when it was first read, and as I've listened to the shares, it keeps unfolding. And a couple of the things that really struck me was the whole concept of appropriateness. You know, what is appropriate? What is inappropriate? When am I inappropriate? And 2 events came to mind. around when I needed to be somewhere versus a legitimate reason and really being able to sort through that. The first being my daughter's wedding and also my mother's funeral. And I can uncomfortably share with you that I missed both of them. I was physically there. For my daughter's wedding, though, I was in my head for months in the planning about how I would look, how I would show up in front of my ex-husband and his wife, who I had all these stories about. My mother's funeral, I did the same thing. How will I look? What will I wear? So even when I was physically present under the guise of recovery, being this recovered person, what I have in terms of recollection of my daughter's wedding are pictures, videos. What I have of my mother's funeral, fleeting thoughts here and there. But I wasn't present. I didn't show up for those people, those loved ones. I was all about me. And it's a recollection that although it's painful, it's real. I can see it, the depths of what I will go to, even when I can say I'm in a recovered state. And so what I was drawn to as I was listening to the shares was this whole concept of defeating my obsessions on my own, that I can't, and I have to practice daily. If it means doing something that I'm too tired to do, like writing the way that I know is beneficial to helping me connect to something more powerful, I have to do it. But I can't plan to do it for 3 months. I have to do it right at that moment when I have to do it versus waiting, because my disease is masterful in the art of waiting. And it waits for me, whether it waits for me to wake up or it waits for me to have to deal with an event or an issue. And then it's absolutely so subtle that it creeps back in, and then I miss my life. And so this is such a timely read for me. I'm very grateful with all that's going on that I have this reminder. You know, there are life forces right now that are going on, but I don't need to get caught up in my own selfishness and my own fear as a way to go through it. So thank you for letting me share, and please stay safe, everyone. And again, thank you for the reordered format of the meeting. So appreciate it.
Thank you, Jill F. And our last share will come from Gloria. And if you can give me your last initial of your first initial of your last name, Gloria, please go ahead.
I'm Gloria A. from California.
Thank you.
Yes, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater this morning. This paragraph really speaks to me. It, right now, it's making me think about when I first came into program and became abstinent, thanks to my sponsor putting me through the first three steps and having the obsession of sugar lifted from me by God, my higher power. I remember I didn't want to go anywhere. I was so scared after I did get my abstinence. I was so scared I was going to lose it. My sponsor encouraged me and said, you know, that's not what this is about. Now we have the freedom to go wherever we go, wherever we want to go, and to have a neutral, feelings about, food. And what she did was she made all kinds of suggestions. Like, for example, when there was a huge family event at a restaurant, I was so afraid there wasn't going to be any food for me to eat because I ate differently. I wasn't eating sugar, and she said, well, this is going to be a way for you to take care of yourself from now on. Is, you know, you can call the restaurant, you know, and find out if they have anything there that you'd be able to eat. And you'll probably have to do that now, or maybe not. I don't know. But, you know, because I took the steps that she had given me about wherever I go, making sure that I would have food there to eat or if I was going to a family event where it was a potluck or something, to take something that I knew I would be able to eat and set it on the table with all the other food, because then I know I would have something to eat and then other people can enjoy it also. And just to be a part of the celebration, to be of service was another thing that she suggested. You know, if somebody needed help in the kitchen, to be of service. I have my phone and I could take pictures, you know, I could be of service that way, taking pictures of the celebration. All these types of suggestions helped me to realize to take the focus off of the food, because I was the type of person who was always right by the table looking to see what the sugary things that I was going to be able to eat. It was never about people. It was never about the actual celebration. It was always about the food. And this helped me take the focus off the food and put it on whatever the celebration was. I think that's time for me to stop. And so I'm going to say thank you and I pass.
Thank you, Gloria A. And thank you, everyone who has shared and who has listened today. What a wonderful meeting. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Leah S., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Sure would. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.